thank you very much. It's nice to have such a good crowd so close to the end. I'll be presenting on the effects of child abuse and stress on later depression, and it's really a life course perspective on chronic adversity and mental health, and I'll explain a bit more about how we are conceptualizing the life course. I want to thank my co-authors, Todd Herrenkahl and Alex Mason, as well as my whole research team on the study, and our funders, including the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development and the Office of Behavioral and Social Sciences Research. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'll give a couple slides that just have background, although I'm assuming a great deal of knowledge on what I'll be talking about today. So first of all, just thinking about chronic child abuse. We know that there are numerous adverse outcomes in adulthood for children who are exposed to physical abuse, including depression. And I'm particularly highlighting physical abuse in this instance, although I know that there are multiple kinds of abuse and child maltreatment, including neglect, that are very harmful. But for this study, we really focused in on physical abuse. So those citations are specific to physical abuse. Some studies also show that there might be increased effects of childhood abuse according to chronicity. So that is, if there's abuse at more than one time point, it might have, would expect that it would affect children differently if they are in a chronic situation of abuse rather than one that's more episodic. There's sort of a separate body of literature most of the time that talks about the effects of chronic stress. And there are both studies that talk about the physical sort of consequences of chronic stress, as well as ones that talk about the psychological. So for instance, some people posit that chronic stress causes a physiological and psychological wear and tear effect. And in a more sort of conceptual, theoretical way, Hobfall, for instance, suggests that there's a phenomenon called a spiral of loss, whereas the more stressors that someone confronts, they're decreasingly capable of meeting the stress challenges. One theoretical framework that might explain that is the idea of learned helplessness, so that mental health outcomes then result from the absence of control over situations. And then multiple studies support the idea that there is a relationship between stress and depression. And I'm highlighting depression in this case because that's the outcome that we used. But again, we know that stress causes many, many other poor outcomes, not just depression. So I've talked about the effects of abuse and the effects of stress, but what I was really interested in looking at was the interaction between stress and abuse throughout the life course. So some studies have found that there is a relationship between abuse in childhood, stressors in adulthood, and then both physical and psychological stress in adulthood, or health in adulthood, I'm sorry. In addition, there have been a very few studies that have looked, though, at how these relationships might actually occur. So there's a few studies that suggest that stress in adulthood specifically might act as either a mediator or a moderator to affect the relationship between early childhood abuse and adult depression. But there's a lot of discussion still about, you know, does it act as a mediator, does it act as a moderator, does it act as both, does it act as neither? Some of the limitations of prior research on the topic of abuse and stress and mental health include a lack of longitudinal studies, so that there are real sort of limited data points and less is known, in addition, about the role of early stress. So, for instance, there's far more studies that take abuse in childhood and then stress in adulthood, but aren't really looking at stress that occurs across the entire life course. Another limitation is that oftentimes, related to this fact that there's a lack of longitudinal studies, that many studies don't account for chronicity of either stress or abuse on later depression. So to address some of these limitations, we explored a few different things and had a couple research hypotheses. The first was that chronicity of physical child abuse and chronicity of early stress will show independent dose-response relationships to depression in adolescence and adulthood, so that as each of these factors increase, so will depression. So I wanted to really try and tease out the separate effects of abuse and of stress. And then the second thing that I wanted to look at was if stress acted as a mediator between chronic child abuse and adult depression, so explaining at least in part the causation between these two variables. Sorry, some of the letters got run off. It's a whole, the Mac to PC thing will never be, will never be figured out. So this is the most complicated part where I'm going to talk about how I constructed the different variables. So the first variable that we constructed was chronicity of severe physical child abuse. So this went through two different waves of data collection. So the first step is that we had separate cumulative scores for severe physical child abuse at time one and time two. And this was from a larger measure of childhood maltreatment where people that early on in the study took the measure and figured out what would represent severe physical child abuse. So this included things like hitting to leave a mark, choking, really sort of severe things. And these were all mother reports. So the mother reported on 9 items for each caretaker. So they reported on the behaviors of themselves, the father, and another caretaker. So we had an abuse score at time one, which was a preschool age, and then an abuse score at time two, which was later in early childhood. And I should say this is from a sample that the study began in 1976, and it was a study of youth and their families from central Pennsylvania. And the last wave of data collection was just completed in 2013. So at this point, they're adults. So the second thing that we did was that we dichotomized at the 75th percentile cumulative abuse score so that we created for each time point high abuse and low abuse. And then we took the high abuse scores and created chronicity. So we wanted to look at, did severe physical abuse happen at 0 time points, at 1 time point, or at 2 time points. So that was how we created the measure of chronicity of severe physical child abuse. We had a similarly complex process for creating the variable of chronicity of stress. This, though, went through to adulthood. So we had a childhood score, we had an adolescent score, and then we had an adult score. And we really modeled it off of the Felitti studies, which took stress at different domains. So we looked for high stress within 6 different domains that were common across these 3 different time points. The neighborhood domain, which included things like neighborhood violence, vandalism. The economic domain, which included things like bill collectors, foreclosures, economic stress. Family conflict, so not abuse in this case, but for instance, conflict between the parents. Household substance abuse, emotional or mental problems in the household, so asking, you know, do the parents suffer from emotional or mental problems, for instance. And then household trouble with the police, which would include being arrested, having family members that had been arrested. Then we did a similar process. We dichotomized at the 75th percentile to reflect high stress and low stress at each time point, and then created, through these dichotomous measures, a measure of chronicity of stress that captured whether chronic stress happened at 0 time points, 1 time point, 2 time points, or 3 time points. So deciding to do the measures this way, we lost some information, but were able to gain other information about chronicity. I mean, it was obviously a lot of decision points as we were making these variables, but to really get at the idea of chronicity, that was the choice that we made, and I think it was useful. Depression in adolescence and adulthood was measured much more simply, you'll be happy to know, using the Beck Depression Inventory, which is a 21-item scale, and that was measured both in adolescence and adulthood. The first test that we did was a regression, and we ran all of our tests in M+. The initial setting up of the data was SPSS, and then we went to M+ to do the rest of the tests. So this was really looking at the independent contributions of chronicity of severe physical abuse and chronicity of stress on depression in adulthood. So you can see both abuse and stress were statistically significant contributors to adult depression, but, and perhaps surprising in some ways, chronicity of stress was a far more important contributor to depression than was early physical abuse in childhood. You can see we controlled for the effects of gender and adolescent depression. We didn't control for other things. For instance, you might be wondering why we didn't control for SES. One reason why, the main reason why we didn't control for that is because we included a measure of economic stress within our stress measure, so it didn't make sense to then control for SES. Then we ran a PATH model that provided another test of the direct effects, but also looked at the potential of stress to act as a mediator. And what we found, the direct effects obviously were still significant, and we can see that the effects of chronicity of physical abuse in childhood were still, they were significant, though less than the chronicity of stress throughout the life course at these three different time points. There also were connections between physical abuse in childhood and stress, which is reflected in the literature. We might expect to see that. The tests of indirect pathways were significant, which means that chronicity of stress acted as a mediator to affect adult depression. Overall, this model predicted about 13% of adult depression. So in summary, there were significant direct effects of chronicity of child abuse and chronicity of stress on later depression. Again, I think it's significant and interesting that chronicity of stress was a more powerful predictor. That might be related in large part to the proximity. So we did measure chronicity of stress in adulthood. So that could have been a really central reason why stress was a more powerful predictor than was physical abuse. For some next steps in our analysis, we are going to look at the contribution of stress at each of these different time points and try and tease out, you know, is it these critical developmental stages that's affecting the depression in adulthood, or might it be something different? And we will still be looking at physical abuse in that equation, because I think that that's an important thing to look at, how those things play together. Sorry about that. So again, there are significant indirect paths, so that indicates that chronicity of stress effectively mediated partially chronicity of physical abuse in childhood and then adult depression. So our first research hypothesis was affirmed, that it appears that chronicity of both stress and abuse independently increased later depression. And I think that that's an important contribution, because rarely are these two things looked at the same time in terms of their later mental health implications. Secondly, tests of mediation support the mediation hypothesis. So chronicity of stress did seem to act as a partial mediator between chronicity of abuse and later depression. Future directions are looking at some other outcomes, especially physical health outcomes, but also additional mental health outcomes. And then, again, looking at, you know, is it that adult stress is primarily responsible for these mediation or moderation effects? And again, this question about the proximity of stress, is that what is really amplifying its effects on mental health? Thank you.